The real news here, Mandy Bell's tweet that that MLB will have Guardians TV's right, their TV rights for 2025. The games will be able to be watched on television. Channel info will be known close to opening day. And MLB.com TV. And this agreement will also remove local blackouts. We got a lot to get into. We'll get back to the Browns later. Jason Stanford joins us in just about 40 minutes here. But I think local blackouts were the next thing for baseball to tackle. So in terms of fixing the sport, making sure everybody can watch you and that it's easier to watch your game, I think is just logic at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can overstate the significance of this, even though it's still a little suspect because it's baseball running it. But I mean, this is huge, legitimately.
Well, baseball running it means the Guardians won't get anywhere close to what they got last year with the $45 million from Bally's, right?
I would imagine that is close.
And
yeah.
So that will obviously directly impact the payroll, and that'll directly impact the spending. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's cool that people are going to be able to watch the games, but from a financial perspective,
well,
I don't know that we win in this scenario, but I don't know that we had many other options either.
I think you're right to be to be cynical about this. I also wonder whether because baseball could have done this, if I remember correctly, like a year ago,
That's right. They declined
to.
Yeah.
I would imagine if I were a smart person, and maybe baseball's getting smarter here, I would imagine they've built a year building the infrastructure you need. So I would imagine, like, if a year ago you weren't ready to do this, my hope is you've spent the last 12 months preparing for this so that you can try and find the resources to get that kind of money from local advertisers or finding a way to compensate some of that money there.
Well, from also what it sounded like, it was that this is the only team. The Guardians were the only team that were really under this unique of a setup.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe they just thought, all right, it's one team. We'll just take it over because of that.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the Guardians are like the test tube baby on this one.
Not in a good way, by the way, because Bally's basically just said, we don't want you.
Yeah.
Your contract's up and we don't want you.
Remember, I mean, didn't Bally's reject like almost every team but the Braves? Because this just happened last week.
Yeah, and then, and the idea behind that was Major League Baseball then they were in court and they presented it that way, and baseball was, they were surprised.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't see it coming, and then they had to respond in court in the moment to those reactions. So that
was
a little different.
Usually baseball takes about 20 years to respond to like necessary changes. So good for them for thinking on the spot there. The statement from the Guardians, we're excited to work with Major League Baseball to produce and distribute games locally. This is great for our fans as beginning in 2025, our games will now be more widely available. This will include streaming for the first time ever in our home television territory, essentially ending blackouts for our fans locally. So I do think the biggest question you've pointed to it is, how does this impact the organization financially?
Yeah.
And how close can you come to the $45 million mark there? But considering the organization has already been, I would say, supremely chintzy when it comes to spending outside of this organization.
You mean we can't go any chintzier? Is that what you're going to tell me?
When you have to trade Cal Quantrill so you can afford Scott Barlow.
When Austin Hedges seems like you're really stepping out on a limb there.
For $4 million.
Hey, that mound visit was worth the $4 million yesterday.
Honestly, every time that guy celebrates a playoff series win, it's worth the $4 million.
When we bring up Miles Straw with anger at the fact that he makes $5 million a year, that might be, we might be tiptoeing where we can go here.
Because I've never seen Miles Straw shirtless with a cigar in his mouth celebrating a win, saying things like, this town deserves a championship.
You haven't been to the right places.
No, that's what it is. Miles Straw doesn't get us. Austin Hedges does.
Well, I could have told you that.
If Miles had tried harder on the gets us meter, sure, you tried to fight the entirety of the Yankees fandom like one time. I'm going to need, if you're going to hit 200 with an OPS of like 560, I'm going to need you to try and fight Yankees fans like once a month.
I do always love the idea of him at like right before the season got underway and it was spring training. And then we found out that basically he wasn't going to start the season in the big leagues. And then he's sitting next to Chris Antonetti and people are like, how dare he? What's he doing? And I'm like, you guys are looking at this wrong. That man made him a millionaire beyond millionaire for someone that was not supposed to ever be worth $25 million. I'd hang out with my guy if they paid me $25 million too. You can cut me.
The contracts are guaranteed in baseball. So,
yeah, like we're good.
I actually think that's the funniest part of the season is that you get so much dead cap between Laureano, Barlow, and Miles Straw. There's at least one guy I'm forgetting as well. that I think if you also put guys that are injured like Shane Bieber together, they're making more than the rest of the team is.
Yeah, I will say what lacks out of this postseason series is the idea that we can just be like, well, they just spend so much more money than us when the Tigers have spent $18 million on their playoff payroll.
So
total, $18 million.
So it's funny that we're kind of having this conversation because I thought people were unnecessarily angry about the loss yesterday. I'll be honest with you, the Browns' loss on Sunday troubles me and pissed me off so much more than the Guardians' loss yesterday.
Yeah, why does it feel like so many fans are taking yesterday almost in stride?
I think it's one, trust in the team. Two, I think it's the understanding that like you played 9 or 8 2/3 perfect innings of baseball and you just that last third of an inning, bitch in the booty. Like if you're going to die, you're going to die with Emmanuel Clase on the mound. Like, of all the ways I'm comfortable losing, if that's got to be it, that so rarely happens, I guess that's how it's going to go.
It's the Chiefs in the Super Bowl letting Patrick Mahomes throw a goal-line interception. You're like, if this is how this ends, this is how this ends?
Yeah. Like, if I die eating my own cooked food, then shame on me.
You poisoned yourself somehow?
If it's Emeril Lagasse, that's how she gots to go.
Well, your family would be much better off if Emeril, instead of going bam, just threw some poison in your food, and then all of a sudden you got to sue.
Well, if he was going to accidentally or intentionally
poison
me. He
would do the bam thing, though. He 100% would do the
bam
thing.
Like, if you're going to kill me with poison, at least you can throw a bam in there.
Yeah.
Right? Because then I can be like, well, I get it.
Your boy took a pounding.
I don't love it, but I get it. But no, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, it sucks to lose in the playoffs, but there's no obvious place that I can look to in game two and just say, oh, well, screw you guys for losing that game.
You see how it doesn't sting any less, though? For me, it didn't. For me, that was gut-punching. That was...
Well, that's losing in the playoffs, so.
Yeah, but that was us putting our very best foot forward and being able to actually have the advantage against Skubal. We got him out of there. He was out of the game. You were in the eighth inning. You did everything you needed to do. You were in the clear against their number one, the guy that Brett Boone 20 minutes ago said, if you meet up in game five, you're not winning that game. Like, you got there. You got to the point you needed to. And then we let it get away.
But La Cabra is the reason that you're in this spot in the first place. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, it sounded fun.
Clase is the reason you're there in the first place. So if,
I'm not blaming Clase.
Well, no, it's not. But my point is, like, I can't be mad because it was a phenomenally performed game by everybody. Maybe not all the hitters, but a phenomenally performed game. And if you're going to lose, okay, I don't want to lose. It is a gut punch just because it's a playoff. But I'm comfortable losing in that way, Stephen Vogt trusted Class A, and he just got burnt. Like,
and
you can't.
I agree that that's what they should have done. And I'll go until we don't want to talk about it anymore with the idea that Vogt made the right decision there. I 100% stand by him not only going out for the ninth. I stand by the fact that he got to face Kerry Carpenter, who's not Barry Bonds in 0-1. Like, you get to face that guy if you're Class A. But, I mean, that game should have stung. Game should have stung. Because now the Tigers not only have the advantage, because they have more home games than you have for the rest of the series. If you don't win the next two, Nick, you're taking on Skubal? You're going to be fine with that?
He kind of just described the playoffs, though.
But you got to win the next two. Well, like, you got to win the next two.
No, I mean, okay. The easiest path forward is if you win the next two games. You do just have to win two of the next three games. It's a three-game series now. So I think you and I are actually going... We actually do disagree on this.
Yeah.
I can't be mad about one loss in the playoffs because on one hand the Tigers are really good, they're a very hot team, and is there a concern that you missed your window? Of course, but that's what the next three games are about. Your margin of error actually is still there. Now you just have to go take one of the games at least in Detroit, which okay, this is the next test you have to face. Whereas with the Browns, you guys didn't even show up. I mean, okay, you did. The defense showed up for, I think, the first two or three drives and then kicked the bucket. But, I'll take an honorable death. What the Browns did on Sunday was not honorable. It was all the little dumb things that have been killing you for 5 weeks now that you've had 4 weeks to get ready for. So, I can't even be like, well, they played hard. I mean, some did, but I don't know they played hard together. Well, but they played smart. They sure as hell did not. For me, I am in some way you have to be a fatalist in the playoffs. one team's going to win the World Series, right?
Yeah. So that's, losing in general, or sports in general, is a losing proposition.
It is excruciating to lose in the playoffs, but the circumstances matter. There's not one thing they could have reasonably done different to win that game.
Well, they could have had more than three hits in the game.
But my point is, but it's against Skubal, who's probably the best at pitch tunneling in baseball. Like, that's the way that game's supposed to go.
You got to play him again in game five. This is why this stinks so much.
Well, no. But so my point is, it's a very logical loss. It's not a game that I think you can pick apart on too many levels.
Once you got to the eighth inning, you're not supposed to lose that game. Once Skubal's out of the equation, and he's out of the equation, you're in the eighth inning, it's scoreless and Skubal's gone. Advantage Guardians in that moment. And we all know if you win game two and you go up two games to none, that was blouses on the series. That was game, set, match.
It can be a frustrating loss without it being a loss that devastates you. You shouldn't be devastated off that loss. That's a hell of a game. Somebody had to win. Detroit simply was better for one at bat. Okay, and really, it was one inning. They were better than Class A. But I don't think they should have, this means you can't put him out in the eighth. To hell with that.
He's your best pitcher. It's why
and
he's out there.
Maybe we needed Carl Willis whispering sweet nothings into the ear of Manuel Class A to get the 103-mile-an-hour cutter. I don't know. But, the Browns' loss is so much worse. Not even close.
You had Tanner Bibee. You had Matthew Boyd, and they did exactly what you needed them to do. Like, we were playing with exactly the right recipe that we needed to be playing to go up two games to none.
216-474-0092. I'm going to actually flip this on you. I'm going to ask you when we come back. But Ken Carman and Anthony Lima take the scene and take the show beyond 6 to 10 a.m. on Tuesday and Thursdays with their emerging podcast scene. Listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra channel on the free Odyssey app at 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episodes. Let's go here. Which loss hurt worse? The Guardians' loss in Game 2 or the Browns' loss on Sunday? JP's going to answer that next on 92.3 The Fan.